The town in popular imagination is quaint, quiet, full of rows of white picket fences and rose bushes. The town that CCM knows is anything but. It has a million moving parts. It is finance and IT, tax collectors and economic development. And as many of you know, the captain that steers that ship in a few dozen of Connecticut's towns is the town manager. Joining us today is Michael Paulhus to talk about innovative ideas that he is undertaking in Plainville that are anything but plain. Municipal Voices, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities podcast in collaboration with WNHH LP 103.5 FM. I'm your host, Matt Ford. As always, be sure to give us a like and let us know what you're thinking in the comments. CCM's Municipal Voice podcast continues to present a key forum on important state local issues. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the consensus views of CCM or member municipal leaders. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks again for being here. It's good to see you as always. Just a few weeks ago, we were up there doing a little video thing that we'll talk about later. But first off, let's talk about Plainville, how you landed there and what your role is as the town manager.
Well, you know, Matt, first of all, it was great to have you guys up just a short month ago to talk about your project in Connecticut and hiring Connecticut, which is great. Kind of it dovetails into what we're talking about, and great timing this week because it's you know, Public Service Recognition Week nationally. So
awesome.
Here in Plainville, we're going to be doing a lot to showcase our employees. And I, for one, you know, I'm a 30-year veteran, so to speak, and started my career off in 1994 in the town of Windham. Mm-hmm. And consider myself, you know, a lifelong public servant. Right out of college, I was in the Peace Corps, and that's sort of the core of who I am in terms of service. And I got into an MPA program after I got back from the Peace Corps in college, and found an opening in the town of Windham, started my career there, served for 13 years as both the administrator and first selectman. And then after that transition became interim town manager in North Brantford, and then a jump into the private sector for 5 years just to develop, you know, different skill set as a financial advisor and finance. And that was great. Came back to North Brantford for 9 years. And most recently, I've landed here in Plainville, and always knew of Plainville as a great reputation, a great community, well-run. And I had a connection with Rob Buden, the finance director, who's here, been here for a number of years. We worked together in Windham. So I'd heard a lot of great things about Plainville, and they lured me away. And here I am. It's a great opportunity, a great community, and we're looking to build upon that.
That's great. Sounds like you have a lot of, you know, varied experiences that play into your role there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Three different communities this is now my third community in Connecticut. So, you know, you get a little bit of a different flavor in each location and each community, and you kind of bring that with you and learn from that.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing I think about, you know, being a town manager as opposed to an elected office like mayor or first selectman, is that you're a career professional. So you have this deep CV rather than running for an election. You're applying for a job and showing your experience. So it's interesting stuff. When we were up there, you told us that Plainville is on a mission to brand and market the town as part of a kind of wider economic development initiative. How did this idea come to you?
Well, quite frankly, it's, you know, from my experience, you know, economic development is what we have to do, right? And I'll step back and explain. We're in a service-oriented business, right? In terms of government, we provide services, right? That's the bottom line. We get the garbage picked up, we get the streets plowed, and we educate children, and it all takes place because we have the ability to tax residents and corporations, right? So I look at it from that standpoint, that I think we need to do everything we can to grow the grand list, and so economic development is the way to do that. And when we do that, it in theory lessens the burden on taxpayer. I'll give you an example. The goal, when you know, we look at it, and if you get for us a 2% grand list growth equates to about $1 million net revenue for us.
Okay.
That's significant, right? So
Yeah.
that's a goal, and we had that this past year, which is great. So that's why I focus on economic development. And what we, you know, and that's part of the issue, with the primary reason or issue that I look at it to enhance revenue. And when you think about the secondary, most small towns like Plainville, you know, we don't have a big, we don't have any budget at all for marketing. We
Yeah.
have economic developments, you know, programs and initiatives. But imagine me coming to the town council to say I need $50,000 in the budget or more for some marketing, you know,
Yeah.
campaign, and not likely going to happen. So we got along the thought and idea about, well, let's try to leverage social media, which is free, right?
Yeah.
And you know, CCM gets it, and a lot of other towns get it. And so that was the sort of the motivation to say, okay, let's try to build a team, put a team together, leverage free social media,
Yeah.
and put Plainville out there, because really branding is all about reputation. And it's really, you know, putting yourself out there and you know, telling the story about what a great community. And you know, with 169 towns out there, we're all really competing with one another in terms of the, you know, next business, manufacturer, or small, you know, mom and pop store, you name it, from small to large. So it's all intertwined, and we're just trying to, you know, put Plainville on the map,
Yeah.
make us a destination, and attract people.
Yeah. As you mentioned, for, Connecticut towns, we're almost completely reliant on the property taxes, the grand list to for revenues for most of our towns. So it's a big deal to the economic development to grow that grand list is really the only way to increase that for a town.
Absolutely. It's just trying to keep pace.
Yeah. Who are you looking to attract into town? Do you have goals, and what kind of goals would make sense for an initiative like this?
Sure. Well, we're trying to be diversified, right? And so it's not just a one, you know, big box or one fix, you know, in terms of landing one single into, you know, like, you know, competing and trying to land an Amazon distribution center or something like that. Just, you know, not likely going to happen. And we're a small town with 9 square miles. So we're looking at Main Street, from small to large, and even the Main Street project, like a White Oak Development Corporation, a vacant building on Main Street. It's been sitting vacant for a while. We have a proposal underway to redevelop that parcel with a mixed use of retail and about 100 units of housing, which would be great catalyst for us to then look at other locations on Main Street to do infill, if you will, and to, you know, do some facade improvements and so forth. It's just kind of spruce things up. But I think it's going to be the catalyst to bring more traffic downtown. So we've got our downtown issue, and then we've got a major project we've just concluded with the frozen food Americold building that's come online, which is going to serve all of Stop and Shops on the East Coast,
Oh,
and
wow.
just, you know, tremendous for us and our growth. But even beyond that, we've got we're working with Tommaso Group that has what is probably the largest our last piece that we have in Plainville, 100 acres that they're going to develop for bioscience, life sciences, and hoping to attract you know, the high tech and biotech firms out of Boston for a low cost, lower cost opportunity and environment to do business here. So
Yeah.
manufacturing is on our list. We're looking at manufacturing. We're look again, trying to be as diverse as we can,
Yeah.
and you know, just trying to infill where we can, but just create the atmosphere of a great community, a vibrant community. One that is affordable, that is livable, that is sustainable, and just has great quality of life.
Talking about how, developed you are, a lot of our towns are very old in the state and have these developed downtowns. Do you have any sort of brownfield things to deal with in town, dealing with some of these old downtown properties?
Sure. Yeah, that's a piece of the White Oak property that's right here on Main Street, literally right next door to the municipal center. And there will be some environmental remediation in the exterior, interior and exterior. So that's what we're working through right
Yeah.
now. They're cleaning and gutting the core of the building inside right now. And through the summer, we'll be going through all of the exterior soil remediation outside. And then in earnest in the fall, I'll be going to full speed on the development of that. So that, again, hoping to it to be our catalyst for Main Street, which is great. Anytime you can get opportunity to clean up a environmentally hazardous site is great, and put it back on the tax rolls in terms
Exactly.
of,
Yeah, 'cause so
and
many of these
have it.
places are, you know, they're part of our industrial past, and you know, Connecticut was so big on that, but now that they're past their lifespan and it's just a thing, but they're often also in these beautiful downtown locations, like right in the heart of things. So
Exactly.
fixing them up has got to be really satisfying.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the key facets of this marketing plan we're discussing is using social media, building a brand on a low budget. When we came up and visited you in Plainville, we had the pleasure of meeting some of your social media team. Tell us a little bit about that department and some of their efforts.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so I sat down with looking at it internally. I think we're in this field in public service and local government, we're always trying to do more with less, right? And it's all wearing multiple hats, doing different things. And I think this is just the latest iteration of that, where we have to recognize that there's a tool, and it's an effective tool in terms of social media that we can use, and that we all have to get better at, even for me, an old guard like me, and trying to learn new tricks. And that's just what it is. It's just having some fun, and it has been to learn new skill sets, and that's what I'm after. So we started internally. I was able to hire a great assistant town manager, came in just after I did. And Andy Cirioli came out of the Council of Governments in South Central, and we sat down, and our economic development director, and said, okay, we can do this, but we just, what do we need to do? So we took an opportunity to take an office position, part-time office position, and redefine that to add social media skills. And so when a person left, we took that opportunity to redefine the job description, went out and hired someone. And in that process, we had two young individuals, very qualified and great skill sets. And so that I ended up hiring both, as the one is the office assistant, and the other, or the coordinator, and then social media assistant. So both part-timers. And so our core of full-timers, and then supplemented with two part-timers. And the team is young. And again, I'm the old guard, coming in, working with their 20 average age is 28. So I'm the outlier. And but it's been great fun, great fun, and a great opportunity to really take a stab at doing something unique for the community. And so we've created this team. We're working on a weekly basis, putting out a lot of good content, I think, and learning a lot from.
That's great. And it's interesting talking about how you added it to an existing kind of position that was there, some of those duties. You know, we sounds like it's, oh, you know, this new thing, but really it's been around for 20 years now. And it's kind of like before someone in that position might have needed to know how to use a fax machine or even a mimeograph or something. And now the skill is knowing how to use social media. You are listening to the Municipal Voice on WNHH 103.5 FM. What has worked for you so far in this marketing plan? Have you noticed anything that has popped up in terms of response that's really done well?
Yes. And so learning to create a process around content development, what we wanted to do. One comment or one segment that came out was about business, and recognizing working with the businesses that we have in town to essentially showcase them, to go out, talk to them, meet with them, and then collaborate with them, which is a great opportunity to help boost what we're doing in terms of their following and our following. So, what we've kind of zoned in on in terms of platforms, not trying to do all of it, but just trying to get good at Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And LinkedIn separated in terms of what I'm doing on LinkedIn with the town's LinkedIn as well. So those platforms, focusing on that, trying to do that well, get the process internally in terms of post-production, content. And then municipal work, there's no shortage of content. I mean, there's always a story, there's always things that are happening that we want to let the community know about. And in a parallel process in developing the team, we developed a Discover Plainville committee that will be working on the tagline, if you will, and the brand logo. So we're still in the process of putting together a survey to separate send that out, and that'll run a parallel course of what we're doing right now to promote Plainville. And we're doing quite a bit in terms of content development and posting to maybe 2 or 3 times a day that we're doing across platforms. And we're just going to eventually be able to even ramp up even further as we get better at what we're doing. And we're finding out that there are different programs and things out there we can help. And other towns are taking notice. In fact, we had hosted Wethersfield last week just to come in and talk with us, and able to share with them our starts and stops and sort of information that we think is helpful that we pass along. So we're happy to do that with any community. That's what I think I mentioned to you. Documenting everything we do on a weekly basis, and we have yet to get into YouTube, but that will be the next realm for us. And then podcasting after that will be something we tackle as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You did mention that, you've been keeping really good notes of this whole marketing plan in order to be able to share them with other towns and cities that, may not have the budget for marketing or economic development. And, you're figuring out how to do it on the cheap, basically. How far into you are you into this project? What's your commitment to it?
Well, that's a great question.
Sometimes it's just about perseverance with some of these projects.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great point. We're 6 months in, and I think we're making great headway. We're learning a lot. We continue to try and improve on that. And again, it's persistence. I'm also a student. I try to digest as much as I can. And I came across one of these brand and marketing experts, Rory Vaden, and he has this comment. He was doing a podcast with Lewis Howes, I think, and he talked about something called Sheehan's Wall. And Sheehan's Wall is just the wall between the unknown and the known, right? And so Plainville, we're on the other side of the wall with the unknown. We're unknown, we're known, but not quite, known the way we want to be known in terms of out there, right? So persistence is what gets you through the wall. And Sheehan's Wall. And so through social media and just again working on our brand and our logo and our message that this is a great community, and we'll keep hammering away that until we get through the wall and we get to the other side and we become known and we become a destination.
So aside from some of the marketing you've been doing, Plainville has been in the news lately for something kind of innovative, and that is that Plainville has approved a 44-day work week after a trial
Correct.
period. Can you talk to us about that? What made it interesting and why you decided to try it out?
Yeah, again, like the competition we have in terms of being one of 169 towns in Connecticut, all vying for businesses and trying to do economic development and growing the grand list, we compete among profession and in terms of talent. And there's a talent war out there that we're all up against. And so, one of the tools we thought and took a look at, other towns had actually gone before us in terms of doing this. We took a look at the 4-day work week as a retention and recruitment tool. And so we thought it would make sense for us to do that because we were already in Municipal Center at 4-hour half day on Friday anyway. So it wasn't such a big shift for us to go down to 4 days. And it's made a difference in terms of our retention and keeping some of our employees, but also in the recruitment aspect of it, that it's actually come up in interviews that candidates will say, yes, they're volunteering the fact that we saw the ad, we like the fact that you've gone to a 4-day work week, and that was attractive to us. And so that's why were part of the reason they were interviewing, because we can't always compete on salary with other towns that are paying more.
Yeah.
So this is not an end all do all, but it's another tool in the toolkit, in the toolbox, to be able to use and hopefully use effectively.
Yeah. That's interesting to think about how, all of our members, I think, generally try to work together to improve things for each other. But when it comes to, finding that talent, you're are in fact in competition with 168 other towns that need professionals as well.
And the private sector. I mean,
Yeah.
we're looking to, again, this is Public Service Week and Recognition Week, and we're doing what we can to create a campaign around, what's attractive about working in public service. And again, I'm a proud public servant, and
Yeah.
I want to, toot that horn and say there's great opportunity, and you know that because you're doing the same project as well, talking about hiring, in Connecticut for Connecticut positions in public service is a great career.
Yeah. Yeah, and historically, I think a lot of us always thought of it that way in the past. Working for the town, working for the state, were always those kind of jobs. You're like, oh, that's a good job because of the benefits. And now if you can't compete on the straight on the pay level, the 4-day work week is another kind of way to make yourself attractive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a, yeah. So we're happy with it. It's working well, and we'll continue to, showcase that and to make that prominently, depicted in all of our advertisements and
Yeah.
so forth.
So you did the trial. At what point did you kind of decide, like, yes, this is a success?
Yeah, last meeting last month, we wrapped that up in terms of making and making it permanent. Yes, we did too. A little over a 6 month. We went actually 7 months to make sure we went through the responses and surveys and
Yeah.
so we
Were
did
there
a
certain things
lab.
you were looking for, just kind of as markers to let you know that, like, yeah, this works?
Well, internally, we did a early on we did a internal survey of employees about the launch or pre-launch to that, and then we wanted to wrap up with a end of the 6 month trial and where we're at, and so the responses going through were very, very positive. We did we had a survey out to the public as well. Unfortunately, for 7 months and didn't have much of a response there. So the comments were kind of split on that, and but there was no reason to hold back and not to go forward with it. Especially, like I said, it wasn't a huge lift going from 4 hours on Friday down to, 4 days.
Yeah. Since you've done it, have any of your other towns like contacted you and asked questions about it, like how it's going or anything?
Yeah, there's been a number of inquiries from the press, and a few of the other towns have inquired, and I've talked to a town manager or two about that, and just explained our process. And it really is, I think, can be modified to their specific town. And this isn't one specific way to do it, and you've got to
Yeah.
talk with your unions and the collective bargaining impacts and so forth. But as long as those are open lines of communication, I think there's different ways you can structure it and do it, pull it off. And it, again, we're not doing everybody because obviously we can't, put police on a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
So there are limitations, obviously. But by and large, I think it's been well received.
So we're talking about, doing this to make Plainville an attractive place to work in relation to other towns in the private sector. And as we mentioned, we came to you about a month ago to work on a video project where we're focusing on seeing municipal careers as a careers, working for your municipality as a career for people. And in that video, you spoke with us about how to encourage people to work for local government, why you think it's important that do it. If you could kind of reiterate some of that, why is government not just a good job, but a career?
Well, it has so much to offer, right? It's not locked and channeled into one particular profession, right? When you think of local government, you think about, oh, that's the tax collector. I don't want to be a tax collector. Or maybe you do think about public safety, and that's another aspect of it, which is great. You could be, police officer or fireman, there's, recreation. There's so many different opportunities to start your career. And it's a great, I think, work pick your community you want to work in. There's great opportunity, but it's not just a job. It's a career that you can advance and learn a great deal on the job. And in some cases, in most cases, we'll even have funding to allow you to pursue the certifications or the licensing that you need for the job and for furthering your career. So I think it's worth exploring for any young adult, anyone, or even mid-career. You want to move. In fact, we're looking for engineers. We're looking for building inspectors. And so, if you want to transition from a career as a contractor into building, that's great. If you want to, from a engineer in the private sector, and you want some, work-life balance, and come here, we're all for it. So, there's great opportunity. I think we just have to be on the radar. That it might not be in their conscious awareness, but this is another opportunity.
Yeah, they don't necessarily think of it that, the opportunities that are with the municipality. Yeah. So you received your MPA, and that's Master's of Public Administration, right?
Correct.
From UConn. What was that
Yes.
like? And would you recommend that students look into that area if they're kind of looking for a good, stable, position?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great career path in terms of a degree to help you on a career path. In fact, I was about halfway through the program when the position opened up in the town of Windom. And so I finished up at nights, and it opened the door for me, knowing that I was really close to getting that MPA degree. And Town of Windom took a chance on me and hired me, and I finished up and went on to have a 30 plus year career in local government. So I think it's a great opportunity because there's a network as well when it comes from UConn. And if you it's portable, you can go anywhere in the country. But of course, with Connecticut and the reputation of UConn, that certainly opens a lot of doors and would be a great degree to have for any student.
Is that a strong program at UConn? Is that kind of one they're
Very
known
strong.
for?
Yeah, very strong. And there are others, but it's a great door opener.
Yeah. So you're a town manager. What some are some of the other jobs that someone with an MPA might be looking at?
Well, with an MPA, you could I mean, our chief of police has an MBA, and there are other chiefs of police around the state, or they could have they could be an assessor, they could be a tax person, and a lot of different you could have an MPA and be an economic development director as well. There's plenty of those out there as well. It crosses over because you really, when you get to a point, you're at a level where you're managing employees, a administrative, MPA comes in real handy. So,
So as we mentioned before, your social media team is on the younger side.
yeah.
How do you find younger people like them that are interested in trying out positions in local government?
Well, it's an interesting, it's a great question and a challenge. We just, we try to make it tailored to interesting them. I don't think there's any science to it. I think it's just sometimes just luck and getting them. But I think we're taking a different tack in terms of getting away from the traditional newspaper and print, obviously, to ads that are on LinkedIn, ads that are on Facebook, and whatever way we can to reach a younger audience. And so social media is an easier way to do it. I'm not sure we can really reach a younger audience in terms of your traditional track to become an assessor or to become a finance director. We're open to the possibilities, always looking to see how we could better position something, do something a little bit different, and stand out a little bit.
Yeah, and that's interesting to talk about how you kind of look for them where they are, not expect them to find you, because the 22-year-old that's graduating isn't turned to the classified section of the paper to look for a job.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's word of mouth, right? So if we can get out there and it's just, again, percolates and in whatever way, we can make a post and say, you know, anybody knows that, you know, we're interested in looking for this position. And a lot of communities are doing this. We're not alone. We're
Yeah.
not unique, but it's just that's the thought pattern that you have to have to say, okay, this isn't working the traditional way. And, you know, what else can we do?
What can
That's
we try? Yeah.
what can we try? Absolutely. And we're into that, trying new things.
Finally, to kind of wrap up each episode, we always like to ask our guests how they feel about the future. How do you feel about the future of Plainville? Are you feeling positive?
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't feel better. I mean, we're really on the cusp of doing some great things and again breaking through Sheehan's wall
Yeah.
from the unknown to the known, but tying it back to economic development. I'm very optimistic about the trajectory of the state. And I see it this way that, you know, rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
So I think the governor and the state of Connecticut really get it in terms of the team that he's built around economic development, in terms of Commissioner O'Keefe and Paul LaVoy in manufacturing and Anthony Anthony in tourism and development. It's a full court press, I think. And
Yeah.
they've got some great professionals. They're putting out a ton of material. And all you have to do is you know step in. And then the you know the Make It Here campaign for Connecticut, I think was really resonating. I mean, when you look at Connecticut as the fourth, you know, most innovative of state in the country
Yeah.
and seventh fastest growing economy in 2022. So there's some great factual information out there about the growth of Connecticut, and they're putting the pedal to the metal. I mean, they
Yeah.
get it, and they you know, so I'm very optimistic that the way the state of Connecticut goes, that we'll all be, you know, rising as well. So it bodes well
Yeah.
for every, you know, every town in Connecticut. So I'm very optimistic, not just for Plainville and what we're doing, especially about the bioscience corridor that we're going to do. That's going to be phenomenal. But again, the little things that we're doing for Main Street and so forth. And again, this is just a great community that we're excited about telling our story. And we really haven't even launched the tagline and logo. We're going to go through a community process, and that in itself will allow us to learn a whole lot as we engage the community, because that's really the core of
Yeah.
what we're going to do about, you know, showcasing this community, is finding out what really makes it tick and hearing back from the community.
That's cool. We'll have to have you
Yeah.
back on after this is all launched
Oh,
and developed
absolutely.
and
Love to.
see
Yeah.
what worked and what's the success and stuff. Find out what the tagline is. Well, Michael, thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been really informative learning about all the stuff you got going on in Plainville.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to join you today.
All right, keep innovating.
Will do. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guest, Town Manager Michael Paulus. The Municipal Voice is a co-production by CCM and WNHH 103.5 FM. Christopher Gilson is our producer, Harry Draws is on the boards, and I'm Matt Ford, your host. Be sure to check out our Facebook page and give us a like, and watch out for our CCM chat series on our YouTube page.